Today's scripture is from Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 24. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. The two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid the hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. You will have no part or share in this, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that, if possible, the intent of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and the chains of wickedness." Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may happen to me." This is the word of the Lord.
So as I mentioned, last Sunday it was wonderful that the children's choir had their dress rehearsal at the Chinese Cultural Center, and it was so fun to see as the children sang their songs and danced their routines and gathered together for singing and fellowship. I definitely felt the Holy Spirit moving amongst the group. It's amazing to see how the Holy Spirit lifted each person up, brought life to the activity, and continues to empower and strengthen the group. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving God, I ask that the words of my mouth reflect your will, that you know our reflections and our thoughts, and that they be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So I continue a sermon series based on the Holy Spirit, and when you talk about the Holy Spirit, you have to think about the Holy Spirit in the Trinity, God manifested in three forms. In the Trinity, God is the creator, the one who creates us and gives us life. In the Trinity, God is the redeemer, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins and redeems our lives. In the Trinity, God is also the sustainer, the Holy Spirit, who lifts us up and renews our lives. And when we look at the Trinity, we call it the triune God, God present in all three forms, how we see in the Holy Scriptures that God is present in many ways, as God, as Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit. This wonderful triune God makes and creates life. This wonderful triune God redeems life and saves lives. And this wonderful triune God renews life and gives wonderful new life to us. And I ask you now to imagine a sports team. You know, let's say maybe the Lakers. And each sports team always has a coach or a manager, the one who directs, who calls the plays, who manages the teams and makes sure all the athletes are doing the right thing. And then each sports team also has the players, the athletes. They carry out the plays, they do the action on the court of the basketball, they make these important actions that are needed for the team. And the teams also have what you would call the cheerleaders, the ones who cheer on the team. When the team is down, they'll have special cheers to lift them up and maybe make better plays. When the team is winning, they'll celebrate the wins and celebrate the good actions and goals that are made. So think about that. And a sports team is like the Trinity. The coach is God, is like God who directs us, who creates us, who makes us. The players are like Jesus Christ, the action parts of the triune. And the cheerers are like the Holy Spirit that cheers us up and makes us celebrate things with us. Now, all three parts are so important to the game, but if we're realistic, the cheerleaders, they kind of get less notice, right? Let's test this out. Think about the LA Lakers. Who, just say out loud, name the coach, either last season or this coming season. Name the coach. Luke Walton, and who was last season? Brian Scott. Okay, good, you guys got it. Okay, now name 2 to 3 players last season or this coming season on the Lakers. Just yell them out. D'Angelo Wilson, Kobe, who else? Meta World Peace, who else? Maybe one more player. Jordan something. Okay. See, I don't know this. Now, you're all able to name the coach or the coaches last season or this coming season. You're all definitely named players. Can you name a Laker girl cheerleader? There you go. Yes, Angela is the unofficial Laker girl cheerleader here. But can you name an official Laker girl cheerleader? Really, can anyone? Okay, Paula Abdul, the past one, yes, she was famous. But of a current one, we cannot name, right? I couldn't think of anything. I asked Phil, I asked Jonathan, I asked Cy in the mornings, like to test it out. No one can name a cheerleader on the team. We all knew the name of the coach. We all know the players from the famous, you know, Kobe Bryant for his 20-some years or 19-some years, but we could not name a cheerleader. If you look at the Laker website, they have the coach for first and last name and biography. If you look at the website, they have all the players and their stats and all those things they do. And if you look at the website, they do list the Laker girls, but they only list them by first name. There's a Jessica, there's a Michaela, there's a Jennifer, there's a Mandy, and they do give a short bio on them. But the cheerleaders definitely kind of take a second row seat to the coach and the players. And sometimes we put the Holy Spirit like that, but we must not forget that the Holy Spirit, like the cheerleaders on a team, play just as an important role. Now, I know when you watch sports on TV, they rarely show the cheerleaders. They might be show it at half times or during breaks. But if you go to a game and if you really watch the cheerleaders, you see what an important role they are doing. They're not just cheering during the breaks or during timeout. They're cheering during the game as well. When a player scores a basketball shot, the cheerleaders cheer. When it's a serious time and defense is needed, cheerleaders will cheer defense, defense, defense. They do an important work. And in a way, we have to be reminded that the Holy Spirit does this important work as well. The Holy Spirit is so important to our faith formation that we see in this morning's passage that two disciples, when they hear that the people in Samaria are accepting the word of God, they go to lay hands on them so that the Holy Spirit might come upon them. The disciples of the new church was beginning understood the importance of receiving the Holy Spirit. It was not just important that they accepted the word of God, for that means that they did choose and were baptized. That is an important step. But it was also so important that the Holy Spirit must be received by them as well. So we see in this morning's passage that the apostles were at Jerusalem, and they heard that in Samaria the people had accepted the word of God. So the apostles Peter and John went to them, and they say that they laid hands and prayed for the people, that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, we know, had not yet come upon them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then it says that the apostles Peter and John, they laid their hands on them and the people received the Holy Spirit. So you might wonder then, why is this so important? They did that important step that we in the church all encourage, for you to be baptized, to be born again in Jesus Christ, to connect with God in that wonderful covenant that comes at your baptism. But when you think about the baptism itself, the greatest baptism, when Jesus himself was baptized, if I were to ask you, think about Jesus' life and ministry and all that he did, what was one of the most important things that he did? I hope you answer that it was when Jesus was baptized. For they say, when you think about this triune God, this Trinity, God in three forms, it was at Jesus' baptism that we did have God coming in three forms. Think about Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 7, when Jesus was baptized. He came from Galilee to John at the Jordan River, and he asked John the Baptist to baptize him. And it says that after he was baptized, in verse 16, it says, when Jesus had been baptized, he came up from the water. Suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Holy Triune is present at Jesus' baptism. This most important moment in Jesus' life, the beginning of his ministry marked by the baptism. Can you imagine a life or a story of Jesus' ministry that didn't have baptism in it? How odd would that be to know that Jesus Christ, who we follow, was not baptized? But no, we know that Jesus was baptized. He began that important covenant, and he was recognized as God's Son. And at that point, at that wonderful time of his baptism, the Trinity was present, that Holy Triune. Jesus himself, God in the form of the Redeemer, was present. It says that Jesus had been baptized and he came up from the water. The Holy Spirit was present because the heavens suddenly opened and the Spirit of God descended like a dove upon Jesus. And God himself was present when he said as a voice from heaven that this is my Son, my beloved, for whom I am well pleased. So we remember this important baptism, the story that the Gospels tell us. And we know now that as a new church was beginning, the apostles remembered this as well. The importance of having the triune God, the holy God, present at a time of people's wonderful conversion. So when the apostles Peter and John go to Samaria, they know that it is important that the people know they are created by God, that they know they are saved by God and accept Jesus Christ, and that they have been baptized. But they must also have that third component of the triune God, of the Trinity. They must also have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. And so they lay hands on this person, and the Holy Spirit comes. But then this person, seeing this in Simon, he says, I see that the Holy Spirit is given when you lay hands upon the people. Let me offer you money so that I may also receive this power, so that anyone can have the Holy Spirit when I lay my hands on them. Simon is offering money for the power of the Holy Spirit. That is not right. For Peter the apostle answers him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain God's gift with money. You have no part or share in this, for your heart is not right before God. Peter is reminding Simon that the money he has means nothing in God's eyes. There is no value of that monetary, materialistic thing. We were reminded by Jesus' words to not store up our treasures on earth, for we must store up our treasures on heaven with the Lord. Simon asking for this wonderful gift of being able to give others the Holy Spirit, this power that he sees the disciples have, offering money for it, shows that his heart is not in the right place. The disciples tell him that he must instead repent for his wickedness. He must pray to the Lord. The intent of his heart must be forgiven. He must have a pure intention, a pure heart for the Lord. Simon then answers, pray for me, Lord, that the thing that nothing you have said will happen to me. He does not want to be wicked. He does not want to be bitter in chains as they describe to him. He wants to have a pure heart. And we ourselves must remember that is one of the reasons why we have the Holy Spirit, to help make our hearts pure, to be our cheerleader when we are down, to help give us power and uplift us and give us energy as we are called to do the mission of Jesus Christ. We have this wonderful covenant that we have with God because God created us. We are his children and he loves us. We have this gift of salvation from Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us. And then we have the Holy Spirit who brings us truth, who brings us light, who uplifts us as well. The Holy Spirit does many things, and in the next few weeks I'm going to talk about some of those wonderful things that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, we know, gave us the 9 gifts, the fruits of the Spirit. I spoke about those in a sermon series a couple of years ago from Galatians 5, 22 to 23. The 9 fruits of the Spirit that we receive are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. But the Holy Spirit gave us not just these 9 fruits, but also 7 gifts. They start all the way from the prophet Isaiah, the words of the Holy Spirit. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, says that the gifts of the Spirit that we are to receive are wisdom, our understanding, our counsel, our knowledge, our fortitude, our piety, and also wonder or fear of the Lord. These are the things that we will receive from the Holy Spirit that make us a full Christian, that are part of that wonderful triune God, the Holy Trinity. We all need wisdom. We all need understanding. We all need counsel. We all appreciate knowledge. We want fortitude. We need piety. And we do, yes, need wonder and fear of the Lord. These are 7 gifts that the Holy Spirit brought to the people then as the church began, after their baptism, and brings to us today as well as disciples who follow in Christ's footsteps. Simon, yes, he lacked these gifts. He had been given the wonderful gift. He had been baptized. He had had apostles lay their hands on them and pray for the Holy Spirit for him to receive them. But yet he also thought about money and materialistic things. He let the real world in a way get into his faith. We ourselves must not do that, to not let materialistic things or money ruin or control our lives, but instead be guided by the triune God, God our Creator, God our Redeemer, and God our Sustainer, so then we may also receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the understanding, the counsel, the knowledge, the fortitude, the piety, and the fear of the Lord, so that we may repent of our wickedness and pray that the Lord will see us through our lives and continue to be like the first apostles, like Peter and John and the other new people as the church began, so that we today can continue the Lord's church as well. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, let our hearts be filled with joy, be filled with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit moves amongst us to bring us wisdom and understanding, knowledge, counsel, fortitude, piety, and always wonder and awe of you, Lord. For we continue to be your disciples, guided by the Holy Spirit, thankful for the gift of our own creation that you gave us, and the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.